All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, sometimes, you know, we don't randomize games. We just have elaborate kind of methods of revelation.
Yep.
And one of the ways that something can be revealed is through like an ornate puzzle box.
Mm, like The Room, the iOS like, game, not the Tommy Wiseau.
Not the Tommy Wiseau Room, right. Which I still haven't seen.
It's fine.
Like, I think I would like it. I just don't, you know, yeah. It's one of those things everyone else saw it without me. And it's like,
that's what it is. Yeah. And you would end up like, if you watch it with people who've already seen it, like the act of having seen it a bunch of times is part of the act itself.
It's like starting, like, it's like, I'm going to start playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
You know, it's like essentially that, like, I'm not going to just sit there and play Counter-Strike by myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to just like jump into this curve once everybody's already. So I need to find somebody who's in the exact same position as me,
mm-hmm.
and then grow up with them in a room sense, but not like that kind of room, like The Room, the iOS game, or like a work of fiction can be a puzzle box. You got your Voynich manuscripts. You got your long running mysteries, your mind hunters,
your houses of leaves.
Yes. Your houses of MDs, like all these kind of this like long running mysteries.
Right.
One of the most famous, which ABC's Lost.
Oh yeah.
And I have gone down a Lost wiki wormhole, my friend. And I think that if we're going to go through here through kind of the miracle of smoke monsters and Kabbalah, we will find something that suggests a game. If we do look deep enough in the Lost wiki, we will get a suggestion for a game.
I mean, should we just hit the random page?
I think that's what I was going to go for.
Okay.
So let's click on random here. And Hurley shirt. Let's click random again.
Hurley the album by Weezer?
No, that's still not like disambiguation Hurley. actually, we were under the disambiguation Hurley thing. Let's move on from that. Let's go back to the homepage.
Okay, all right.
God damn it, fandom. And Lost Via Domos.
Huh. Wait, they made this game of Lost?
They did. Like, pretty fuck.
Pretty bird, yeah.
So this was suggested.
This is a demand.
A demand
by our friend Doug Leaf.
Doug, I like you a lot. You were a very nice person. I don't know anything about Lost, my man. I can't. I don't know why this is funny.
I don't know why.
I saved a real good real life story for this one because I knew it was a demanded thing, but I can't talk about Lost.
Yeah. So I'm the same, Doug. So Doug wrote us a message. We should introduce ourselves first, though.
Oh yes. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
It's After Suffering, the show where we demand games that like probably like a legendarily bad game that you could have a reasonable expectation that we think is funny.
Right.
However, it's just boring people doing the plot of Lost, as far as I can tell.
Right. So, yeah. Why did you do this to us? So this was Doug's second pick. Doug is the person who asked for that Atari 800 game that we couldn't get to emulate. Yeah. That I spent like 2 hours trying to get to work. Yeah. and that was the cause of the Horse Cops game.
That was the cause of the Horse Cops game.
Doug says Lost is a divisive show. I personally liked it, but I can see and appreciate the opposing viewpoint as well. I have no opinion about Lost. While the show as a whole may not have perfectly come together, its best successes were when the alchemy of character and depth and Twilight Zone mystery perfectly synchronized. That mix, however, does not lend itself to a gameplay mechanic, and Via Domus simply falls flat. Namaste.
I agreed with the last part. Like, I didn't like this. I could
see the room for this. So this game, if you're thinking like, what is this? Think like a kind of boring non-horror game that plays like a mid-2000s survival horror game.
Yeah. Yeah, a little. In research, a lot of people were talking about Tomb Raider. So I think later maybe there's like slightly less adventure stuff.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that to be true. That's a guess.
Yeah. So based on the first two episodes, which is all that I played of this. No, I played up to the point where he asked me to do stealth and I was like, nope. I was like, oh, is this a game where like you're walking around and talking to people and trying to solve stuff that way? And then I looked at the controls and I saw aim and shoot. And I was like, well, yeah. There we go. Fuck this.
Yeah. Eventually you have to do that. I mean, I didn't get two episodes into this because I hated it. Like I hated the walking around and talking to people because they all sucked and it was all boring.
Right.
And everyone had this weird disaffected, had this weird disaffect.
Right.
To it. I thought it was like really intense.
The character facial models and the voice acting, it really does bear the mark of like late PS2 era, survival horror animation kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely it has that kind of look to it.
No.
It's when you like I can say the thing that is the reason why, you know, where I quit. There's a specific moment of this. We can talk about Lost in general, and then you can get my very good real life story that I saved. That I did tell on Twitter because it was must tell, but also not everyone who listens to this follows me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like you're playing it, you're doing these boring flashbacks, you're talking to people. You know, it's not very interesting. Like everyone has this like emotional damper on,
right?
You know, for being in a plane crash just recently. You get to a part very early on where you have to follow a dog.
Yep.
You have a button to call the dog. Pressing the call the dog button puts you in for a tiny second into first person mode. The camera zooms into your head. You say dog, and then the camera zooms back out of your head. And this, I hated it. Like, it didn't make me sick or anything. I was playing this on my PS3 on my little TV, so it wasn't, like, at my computer.
Right.
But it was just, like, so annoying to have to stop progress and, like, why I had to go into first person to speak. It made no fucking sense. And I was just like, I hate this. I was running around after the dog. The dog got away from me. I called the dog. The dog didn't come. And I was just like, you know, my guy kept giving up. And I was like, well, fuck me, I guess. I don't care about
Wait, you can like, you can fail?
You can fail. If you go too far off the dog... Then your guy says like, maybe I should just retrace my steps. And a little prompt comes up that says restart.
Oh, geez.
So it's like, okay, you know, you win. Yeah. Lost via Domus. Like, and I played up until that point cause I had a hard time with the camera section on the plane too.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The touchiest focus that has ever been.
Yeah. So that I thought was a thing that had potential if there was any kind of visual fidelity in this whatsoever, because it demands that you have an image in focus. Okay, fine. It's a camera thing. However, like the quantization on what is in and out of focus is gigantic.
Yeah.
Like you're going by like just these massive steps of like what is blurry or what part of the depth of field you're clarifying. So like I like that as an idea of like finding the right moment and taking a picture so you can unlock whatever the flashback is for this. That is a cool idea. They biffed the implementation in every single way.
Well, also I would say they biffed like another way they biffed the implementation other than just the controls was right before the moment you're supposed to take a picture of somebody handing somebody else a bottle.
Right.
And right before that moment, the guy or somebody who looks exactly the same as the guy who is about to like jump your shit on the plane. Walks right in front of you. And it's like, why don't I want a picture of that guy? Mm-hmm. Like that guy, like when this thing starts out, I'm on a plane, a guy gets up and he's going to like strangle me or something. And then the plane crashes. And I was like, that's what I know.
Right.
Why is that guy not a person of interest?
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. Maybe it's just a bad models that maybe it looks like that guy and it's not that guy. That's a problem on its own. Like, you know, he's a sinister looking bald man. Like give him hair. And that was all it would take to like not have him look the same. But
right.
I kept trying to take a picture of that guy. Your feedback is like the timing's off and like the timing, like you haven't told me what I'm trying to take a picture of. So how can I adjust the timing?
Yeah, like the hint that it gives you is like the photograph that is ripped up into pieces that has like, oh, this is the moment that you're supposed to hit and roughly the composition you're supposed to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that, but by putting that, you know, it's probably just like a Easter egg for fans or foreshadowing or some kind of nonsense. But for me, that guy seemed like the most interesting thing, you know, that was going on. And then when I found the picture, like the dialogue that comes after it is so fucking dumb and bad. Like just like you wore handcuffs. I don't have time for this. I won't tell anyone about your handcuffs. I've got to go now. You know, it's just like, it doesn't, having this mystery doesn't, like, you can watch a mystery like that from the third person and be like, why aren't these characters actually talking to each other?
Right.
Because it's a stage play. When you control one of the characters, it just becomes very frustrating.
Right.
Like, I have more things I would ask. You know, like, this is, I wouldn't behave this way.
No.
You know, adding the avatar-ness to this hurts it a lot, I think.
Yeah. Also, your avatar is boring as paint.
God.
Like, I have no idea. Like, again, I've not seen any of the show. Like, I think I've seen one frame, and that's the guy, like, waking up laying on his back in the forest. I'm not saying I'm above it all. Like, I just wasn't watching a lot of TV when this came out, and it's one that I never got back onto because nobody talks about this show anymore.
People do, but they don't like it. Like, people, it's one of those things where, like, there's the arc where it's like, you gotta see Lost. I'm like, oh, maybe someday I'll watch Lost. And then you get to the mid seasons, like, people are like, Lost is real good, you should watch it. And I'm like, maybe I will, but maybe we'll see what happens when it ends. And then people are like, the last three seasons have been a travesty. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Don't watch it.
Yeah,
every person I've ever talked to who liked this show has said unequivocally, hey, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not worth getting invested because it doesn't solve anything. It's a bad story. It's poorly told.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, I believe that. Like, I've seen other things Damon Lindelof has done. You know, like, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that he would biff storytelling to me.
Right.
So... like, Brian K. Vaughan worked on the TV show for a little while. Like,
oh, weird.
There's good talent with it. It's just like, they didn't wrap it up because they didn't know where it was going. They just like, what if we did a mystery where we don't say what happens? And they're not David Lynch, so they're not good at it. So,
yeah. And then, and that's the thing, right? So, like, it's very difficult for me to, like, step out and condemn this because, like, the thing that I know about it is, like, what if Gilligan's Island was also Twin Peaks, but didn't have the sense of humor to it? You know, not the sense of humor of Gilligan's Island is what I'm talking about here.
Or the sense of humor of Twin Peaks.
That's what I mean. I was joking. I was joking about that when I say sense of humor, thinking about the quirkiness of Twin Peaks. But then, you know, like, Twin Peaks does a bunch of bullshit, and, you know, it would be hard to tell somebody to watch all the way through both seasons because season two famously takes a dip. Like, it has a lot of questions that were never intended to be answered. Like, it is purposefully opaque in a lot of ways. And, like, it's hard for me to say this one thing looks bad and I wouldn't be interested because the thing that I really, really love commits a lot, you know, many of the same sins, right?
It's interesting because it's such a hard, like, there's been a lot of talk, and it wasn't in relation to Twin Peaks specifically, but that's, like, you know, that's related. There's been a lot of talk about, like, how much we can expect to have all of the loose ends in our fiction tied up.
Right.
And how, like, treating every piece of fiction like an equation that has to be solved and has to have all its parts in the right order is a bad and boring way to approach fiction.
Yeah.
And
it's,
like,
setting up to never, ever be satisfied.
Never be satisfied, because whatever actually would fill out the equation is stuff that's going to be worth less interesting than what's in your mind. And as, like, Bonfireside Chat people, that's something I relate to very deeply. But as Bonfireside Chat people, it also illustrated that there's a right way to do that, which is Bloodborne, and there's a wrong way to do that, which is Dark Souls 3.
Right.
And, like, there's a right way to do this, which is Twin Peaks, even with its failings, and there's a wrong way to do it, which is Lost, is what it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, making everything ambiguous and not having an ending is a real, like, thin tightrope. Takes tons of skill to just not have an ending in mind.
Yeah, because, you know, every season that goes on, you're adding arrows upon arrows upon arrows that, you know, people are going to look for patterns for, and they're going to be satisfied when it doesn't lead anywhere, when it doesn't point to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing this without having any knowledge of Lost outside of, like, okay, I recognize Hurley from the cover of that one Weezer album.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, like, having the barest sketch. There was nothing about the character who was made for this, your main character who's not in the show, that seemed any different than any of the other people. Like, playing this as an artifact without, like, a larger thing that it points to is a strange experience.
It just meant that there was supposed to be lifting that wasn't being done. You know, like, oh, this character shows up, like, I'm probably supposed to think this guy's cool. This, like, samey flat dialogue that's coming from everyone.
Right.
I'm supposed to just look at this guy and be like, oh, it's this guy. Ooh, I know he's going to turn into a real piece of shit. That's interesting.
Right.
And it just didn't happen, you know, because I didn't know who they were. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No good. No good. I hated this. I got real, like, not mad, but I was just like, this sucks.
Right.
You know?
you shared a screen grab on Twitter of a person standing in front of a door that said games.
Oh yeah, that's not from this.
Is that from the thing that arrived this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been playing. So like Twitter, I spoiled it. So either I put on some spoilers on accident because I didn't realize the game case was in the in the screen. But that was very funny. And that game is not as like secret good as I wanted it to be.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty bad. Yeah. But you know, I'm probably gonna play more of it because of reasons that will be discussed.
Yes. Yeah. I was intrigued at this as, you know, kind of like a walkie-talkie kind of survival horror ish kind of thing. So the place where I stopped was you're trying to walk through a forest in order to get to the place where the cockpit landed because your camera might be there. Mm. And, you know, you as a character are looking for hints as to what your identity might be so you can jog your memory and figure out what you and what anybody else is doing here. To get through that forest, you also have to avoid the smoke monster, which is a thing that I recognize. I know from, you know, popular culture about this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to navigate, and when you sense that the smoke monster is nearby, you have to hide in these roots of these trees.
Okay.
And it's going to come after you and like devour you. I couldn't figure out how to actually like when it was safe to leave hiding, like when it was actually safe to leave my little perch or whatever. And just it kept on dying over and over again. And I was like, nope, you can't do, you haven't earned stealth yet. You haven't earned stealth.
The engine and the controls did not feel like they would be good for having danger.
No.
About.
And I was hoping to get to a point where like, oh, I'm collecting a bunch of coconuts and everybody has like a trade thing. I'm looking forward to like trading coconuts for information.
Yeah. There, I noticed that trade thing too. Like there has a complicated, clunky kind of dialogue system.
Yeah.
Where you look at it's by category of thing, but it didn't matter because everyone was saying these like four word sentences to each other.
Yeah.
And I realized that there was supposed to be a sense of urgency in the beginning because like there were survivors on the plane and you have to go like stop the fuel line from blowing up, but nothing suggests that. Like it would have been very easy to have sounds or not have me fuck around with this flashback and not have me fuck around with this dog.
Yeah.
And give them a sense of urgency. Instead, you just talk to some, you know, stone-faced weirdo and you say like, hey, who are you? And they say, we don't have time in a flat affect. And then you say like, I won't tell about your handcuffs. And they say, okay. And then like, it's very bloodless.
Yeah.
You know, like there's nobody cares about anything. It's really hard to care about them.
Your video game has professional actors. It is based on a, you know, vaguely cinematic thing. Where you're going to expect some kind of at least kind of base level of good performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to have it land so flat, just to be a puddle, is really frustrating.
Yeah.
I wanted to like it. I think it's coming through that I'm extending it some benefit of the doubt about like potential as opposed to what actually landed.
Well, you're way more of like a walk around and talk to people adventure game.
Yeah.
But like you're David Cage.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like the doing a mundane life thing.
You shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah, you're David Cage guy.
I've played every David
through and
Cage
through,
game.
Like you're classic David Cageman.
The Cageman.
Despite all your rage, you're still a fan of David Cage. Like it's, we get it. Like,
yeah.
You know, just like when you think about David Cage, think Cole Ross. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think that you have more interest in like a mechanicless adventure game.
Yeah.
In general, and that extends to your love of visual novels and your love of like, you know, just like let's talk and walk around.
Yeah.
Kind of games that, whereas like for me, like it's a weird, like you have to go all the way back and just have it be a walk around game. Like you, like I like a walking sim.
Right.
Or I want some kind of like mechanics. I don't like the in between step of like, maybe it's like a mystery thing. Maybe I'm less interested in mysteries,
right?
You know, so I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something there's a difference in articulation that makes, I think that makes this more friendly for you.
Yeah,
so not a bad, I mean it's not a bad thing, it's just like
no,
it's good.
No,
you're getting more joy out of it than I did, which is
I like good. Hearing myself described, it's fun
as a David Cageman. Yeah, well, you know,
yeah,
stop loving David Cage and maybe you won't be called a David Cageman so fucking much, dude. Okay, I got a one-step process for you to not have that happen.
I'll cancel my order for Detroit. Oh, you know I'm gonna play Detroit like right away when it comes out.
I know. I mean, you can play whatever you want.
Yeah.
Better you than me. Like I want people to play that. I want to watch like YouTube essays of people tearing it apart for that year. So like it has to come out for me to watch people dunk on it, which is what I want.
Right.
This is there was everyone's doing their best writing of 2017 roundup shit this last week.
Oh yeah.
And somebody like wrote up a thing where they're like, the only thing Detroit reveals about humanity is how much of an awful fucking human David Cage is. I was like, yes. Yes. Give me power. I told you that like I've never done it, but the idea for Patreon exclusive show with us and Retronauts is a joint thing, which is me and Bob Mackey forcing ourselves through all the games called Cage Match. We just go through all the David Cage games in order and just like we force ourselves through them and just do like the longest, angriest, like, you know, waff about them at the end. Like it would be like for a very specific person, I think that'd be very fun. And those specific people are not me or Bob. So
no. I would discourage you away from any project that exposes you to terrible things on purpose.
Yeah.
Excluding this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, at some point, you know, I value our Indigo Prophecy experience, but it's not like I'm going to seek it out.
No.
Again,
man, that's a lot of time to spend playing Omicron No Bad Soul.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like they even before they became, you know, kind of like adventure games that have problems, they were like inscrutable games that had problems.
Right.
So a lot of Omicron time and like, you know, even, I mean, I guess the other ones though, like if it's like 12 hours to squeeze through Beyond Two Souls, you know, it's like just Detroit's going to be longer than 12 hours.
Yeah.
So it's all doable. Yeah. It's just, at the end, the problem is this. I don't think we get new insight after like after Indigo Prophecy.
No,
like it's not like he's grown as a creator. Like he gets closer to this thing that he wanted to get to, but I don't think the problem is with what he wanted to get to. You know.
Whoa. Hey, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't the same episode. We talked about this during the it's the same session rather. We just did the Exquisite Suffering about the Street Fighter movie video game.
Oh, what happened to Raul Julia?
No, Raul Julia has not been milkshake duck. Okay. However, I went to David Cage's Wikipedia page. He has a composer credit for the Time Cop video game.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
for the Super Nintendo, which is, I kind of want to go and listen to that soundtrack right now.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wonder if he's a better composer.
I have no idea. Given that he's only done one, it's hard.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
He con manned his way into that as well. Like,
yeah.
Of course, it would be excellent. And then just, okay, buddy.
Yeah. I think Fahrenheit says everything you need to know about David Cage. And everything else has been trying very hard to capture that same.
Yeah.
That same stuff.
I would love if for every one of his projects, there was like a picture of his coworkers just hating him.
Yeah.
Like there is with Beyond Two Souls. Cause like that's a meme-y thing, but I cannot get enough of that picture of him just enthusiastically explaining something while real actors are just like, I fucking hate this. Like, just like, I can't believe this is happening.
I can't imagine living a life where I make Willem Dafoe mad at me.
Yeah. You know, just like Willem Dafoe hates me. Like, it's not like he seems nice. He seems beyond hate. He's an otherworldly creature of weird rectangle faced goodness. Like, he's just, you know, and just like Ellen Page, just both of them just being like, and it just kind of shows that like lack out of touchness with humanity, where like you can't read a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we were doing, like, let's say you and I were doing like a press junket and you were just miserable about something, if I just didn't notice, like that would be a real sign of me being a piece of shit,
right? Like, oh, you know? You have absolutely no concern for me. Okay.
Yeah, like why didn't he care that the people with him were not? And like, there's just that picture, which is the funny picture. Mm-hmm. If you watch it in video, they don't look like, they're not like crying or anything. It's not as miserable. No. But at no point do they look enthusiastic or happy.
Yeah, if you see somebody grabbed a frame of the microaggression.
Yeah, that was like largely representative, if not completely representative.
Right.
You know, so it says a lot while also being funny.
Yeah.
Let me tell this real life story.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have anything real quick before we move on from Lost?
No, I barely have like I have like one game back thing, but like it's just a review that's like, oh, yeah. No, I want to hear this story.
I couldn't find. I was looking through reviews and I didn't look through enough of them to find.
It's not good enough to get in the way of the story. So should we put a content warning for people who are really grossed out by medical stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you don't like hearing about crazy stuff being done to bones, this might not be a safe place for you right now.
So I lost my bones.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to, so you already know the story. Did you see me on?
I saw a mention. I was doing my weekly vanity searches on Object Suffering. And I saw you bring it up saying that you were getting like gum scrapings done or something.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at it anymore because I wanted to save my reactions.
And ordinarily you're like really down for a good gum scraping.
Oh yeah. I'm all about it.
It's like, good Danny.
I am down for two things. Anything David Cage does and stories about your horrible mouth.
David Cageman, and you love bad mouth. It's like you get David Cage. If David Cage had trench mouth, you would be a pig in shit.
Trench mouth.
So I've got gum disease, which like I, you know, get embarrassed about, but also according to the posters on my dentist's office, 1 in 2 Americans have that.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. Like gingivitis is all over the place.
Super common. Yeah. So I have it, and it'd been a long time since I gone to the dentist because I don't like going to the dentist. It scares me to do so. But I was trying, I was like, okay, you know, I have dental insurance. It's not great, but it's some, and I can afford to do this right now. Like I should go to the dentist,
mm-hmm.
And start that process. So I went, and the dentist was already like kind of a character. Like I went in, there's all these like cowboy shit on the walls.
Oh,
and
no.
It's like Dr. Gyeong. And I was like, oh, like Dr. Gyeong the cowboy. But Dr. Gyeong the cowboy turns out it's Dr. Gyeong Porter, who is like a black lady who kind of looks like Grace Jones, who is like way into cowboy shit.
Huh.
And exclusively, every time I've been in there, only listens to Paul Simon's Graceland, which is like a great album. It's been on 4 times I've been to the dentist. Graceland has been on. She's got a brand. So like, they did.
Okay, Dr. Gyeong, it's nice to see you. Oh, you can call me Al.
Yeah, you can call me Al. So the when one time, you know, they just did the x-rays and the gum depth, like the poking test.
Yeah.
You know, see how bad it was. And they're like, okay, you have to get a root scaling, which I've had that done once before. And that's the scraping. That's the gum scraping. And what they do is they take a motorized tool and they go beneath your gum line and scrape off all the plaque.
Right.
It hurts. It's really unpleasant. And I went in one time and I was too nauseous to do it, because of nerves and because of car sickness. But so I've been in there. I went in one time, dental hygienist did half my mouth.
Okay. Top though. So how do they bisect that, top and bottom or left and right? Okay.
Weird. Left and right. Did left hand. I'm not sure what the logic is. I asked them to do it all at once and they said they couldn't. They were like, oh, you have to be able to eat and stuff. And I was like, I cannot eat for four and a half hours if it means visiting you less. Like, so they did it. Tons of like, you know, injecting into my nerves. It's not great. Like I don't like Mr. Pinchy or whatever. I don't like the Novocaine injector, but that was the most painful part.
Yeah.
Took an hour.
So much pressure when they inject Novocaine, like that sucks.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, and me, you know, because of the condition or just in general, like it actually hurt pretty bad.
The injection itself hurt or the scrape. Okay.
So both, but the injection was real bad.
Right.
Like surprisingly bad. Like it hurt. But afterwards I was real numb and she took an hour and she cleaned it and it was like, that was it.
Okay.
Mouth was numb for the rest of the day. But like that day, like I, you know, hung out, you know, social, got home, numbness went away, was sore for a day, went away.
Yeah. Like routine. You're describing what a lot of people probably go through when they get this done.
When they get a root scaling. I go back for the second half. The actual dentist does it. Injects like less Novocaine, which is probably resultant to this whole thing. Like does less of that. He's annoying throughout the whole thing. So like talks to me, like asks me questions with dental tools.
That's torture. That is torture. You're not a fucking barber.
Yeah. You are not a barber. And she, the entire time I've known her, like she would do things like when she was doing the poke test, I would like, my head would go back because it hurt.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd be like, oh, you're scared of me. You're trying to protect yourself from me. It's like, stop fucking teasing me. Like, I'm scared of you because you are poking my gums or something and it hurts, man. Like, of course I am. Like, I don't like this. I told you I didn't like it. I'm not being, you know, I didn't hide this. So she's doing the thing. She asked me a question. I go, And then she takes the dental tools out. I'm like, I can't answer the questions. I have dental tools in my mouth. And she goes, well, you don't right now, do you? I'm like, fuck you. Stop sassing me. Like, I came to you very, like, honestly and said, like, hey, I have tons of anxiety about this. Like, I don't like this. I'm a human being coming to you and telling you, like,
I have dignity.
I have feelings. She does last thing. She halfway through gets rid of the tool that they use. I don't know what it's called, but there's a little like electronic tool they use, and just starts using regular dentist tools and fucking go into town. Like, and I can feel I'm numbed up, but I can feel that she's being like incredibly rough.
Right.
Left half of my mouth, 1 hour, right half, like 28 minutes, 27 minutes. So just rushing it, you know, doing it. I didn't feel real good, but I came out of the dentist, like my mouth was mostly numb. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go home, this will fade. I was right by a Target, and she said, like, buy a water pick. And I was like, I never want to fucking do this again, so I'm gonna buy a water pick.
Right.
I went to Target, and then Target, my mouth keeps like watering, you know, and I'm like, this is really, this, like, something's wrong.
Right.
Like, this doesn't feel normal. It kept happening. I'm in front of, I grab my water pick, and I'm in the produce section. I go to grab a piece of cauliflower, and my mouth's watering. I'm like, okay, I can't, this is too much.
Your mouth is watering, but you're also numb. So you're probably like drooling is like a factor. Okay.
I probably would be drooling if I wasn't trying not to drool with every fiber of my being.
Right. Okay.
I take a piece of Kleenex out of my pocket, and I'm like, I'm going to dab my mouth. I go to spit because I'm numb. I spit an entire mouthful of blood, like a baseball sized amount of blood onto a tiny little tissue that dribbles down my hand, overflows, and pours into a puddle on the ground of dark red blood. So I just, spit up a bunch of blood. Like, I'm a Jacob's Ladder extra in the middle of this Target.
Yeah. If you have blood in your mouth, like, all of a sudden your entire grill is just a grid of red. You can't hide that.
There's no part of this that wasn't me being like a nightmare.
Right.
So I'm like, I gotta go, so I go to go check out. As I'm going down the escalator, it is a 2-floor Target.
Okay. I think I know exactly which Target you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. The city Target in Portland. A little kid looks at me fucking eyes wide. Like, I am a demon. Like, you watch me spit up this baseball worth of blood, this entire like 12 ounce soda, like a Pepsi can full of blood that I spit onto the ground.
Yeah. Like,
in my hand.
A small puppy's supply worth of blood.
Yeah. Like, enough to power life. Like, eyes wide, like, amazing that this kid saw me and just like staring at me. And I like hurry up past him. I try not to like talk. I just kind of nod to the cashier and stuff. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the bus, and like my mouth is just like bleeding.
Okay.
Bleeding, bleeding, bleeding. And I keep having to like, I'm like, I don't have any tissues or anything. Like, I got out of there too quick to get any. There's nowhere for me to duck in. So I use my scarf. Okay. And then I started like spitting. I was just like spitting out blood. Like, my mouth was bleeding like an open wound would bleed. I've never had like my mouth bleed like that. Usually that, bleeding in your mouth stops pretty quick.
Right.
For some reason. It was awful. And then I got on the bus, and I was like, started thinking about, it's like, oh, I swallowed a lot of blood. Like, and I was like,
that's coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I'm gonna puke up blood on this bus. And then like, it's still sore. Like, it was, the last one took like a day, like, we're now, tomorrow it'll be a week.
Okay.
Since I've done this. And like, my mouth is still pretty sore.
Oh.
Like, it's not as sore as it used to be, but she fucking wrecked shop. Like, it was engineering. Like, it was not like, you look at modern medicine, it's like, this is chemistry and stuff. Like, this was,
this is like barber surgery that she did to you.
Exactly. Like, it was butchery. Like, she fucked me up. Like, it sucks. I hate it. And it's still sore. Like, it's still sore. Like, right now, like, as we're speaking, like, my mouth is still sore. And I looked online. I don't want to talk to her again, because I don't want her to say to come back in, and then she's just going to fucking rub her hands together. And
Well, no, I mean, like, then you're signing up for dental torture is what you're doing.
Yeah. You have to be like, she kept saying like, oh, you're scared of me. You're scared of me. Like, in a kind of a jokey way. I understand the psychological cost it probably has to like have a profession where everyone hates going to you.
Right.
Like, that probably sucks. At the same time, you have to have some kind of awareness that like of basic human psychology and like feedback loops.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like, if you treat me like this and you do this to me, like, I don't want to come back to you. And Is that what you want? Because you'll get more of my money? Like, I don't understand the thinking.
Expecting good bedside manner is not unreasonable. Like, that's the reason we have the term bedside manner at all, is because that fucking matters.
You get trained in that. Like, it's part of training.
Yeah.
You know, like doctors go to class for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the
ideal thing would be to say, hey, I'm sorry you're nervous. If you need a minute, let me know. I can go do something else.
Or just not be in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, like it's because I have a literal A/B test with how this could have been done.
Right.
You know, like, and allowing for the fact, like, what if, you know, one side of my mouth was in rougher shape? Not to this degree, though.
Yeah.
Not the degree that, like, you know, socially functional and fine.
except for that half hour where you were vomiting blood on the red line.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that left half a mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know, took a day, was fine. You know, not even numb after a few hours. Right half of the mouth, you know, vomiting blood, puking, you know, spitting up blood in Target. You know, unable to sleep because of pain, like just like 1,000 times worse. Like, it couldn't have just been that one half of my mouth was worse than the other. It's that she did a way shittier job.
Right.
And stuff. And there's all these like things that she's done that have been, intimidating anyway. Like, at one point she was like, how often do you floss? I'm like, probably like once a week. Like, I go through periods where I do it more frequently, but I don't like it. And she's like, you will. What the fuck does that mean?
are you trying to teach me a fucking lesson?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah,
like, as you know, is it like, that's what people react poorly to doctors and stuff when they're like patronizing and shitty.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't need to know that I should do this. I know
guilt
that.
Is not a universal motivator. There's a significant portion of the population that will just stop taking care of themselves because they feel guilty about not taking care of themselves.
Or there's just like, there are just other factors. Uh-huh. Like, it's not like I don't feel guilty about it.
Uh-huh.
It's, I also feel pain and anxiety about it. And like, there's other things that are parts of it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Like, so to describe where I'm at right now, I keep a cup of floss picks on my computer desk, you know, those little things. And just if I get it in my head, okay, I want to use this to, I'm furiously like getting off mic and floss picking my mouth because I'm so anxious about what you're describing. Like, I have a filthy floss pick in my hand right now.
it is a good thing to avoid this, even though I do think that this is more about the specific dentist that I had than just
don't take me saying that as like me saying, oh, if you floss more, like, and that's not what I'm saying.
You're not floss shaming me. Like,
no,
it's just that, like, it's not, it's about this specific lady who like did a real number on me.
Yeah.
Is the takeaway to this to me. Like,
man, I've done a real 180 on this person because like that word picture, that word portrait that you painted of her, like being into cowboy stuff and looking like Grace Jones and listening to Graceland, like, huh, that's super crazy.
That's why I was kind of into it. I was just like, when I first like was in the dentist's office, I'm like, okay, like, at the very least is like good character, you know, I'll get some stories out of this. Like, this is kind of funny and fun, you know, and the assistant is kind of fun. Like, she's, you know, English is not her first language, which like, I hate whenever I think that somebody is being kind of adorable because they are using odd, you know, odd phrasings and stuff, but that's the case. I'm not the only person in the world who does that. Like, I see people share that kind of stuff all the time. So I don't like it, but it happens sometimes. But like, whenever she uses the water pick, she's like, this will put a lot of water into your mouth. Like, she only uses that expression and says it in a very serious way.
Uh-huh.
And she's trying to say like, this, that's what this is going to do, is this isn't a gum scraper. This is a, you know, just a water thing. But she says it the same way every time. It's very funny to me. This will put a lot of water into your mouth. This will put a lot of water into your mouth.
I think there is there is a truth that the nurse or the dental hygienist is always the better person to interact with. If I could only ever interact with a hygienist, when I go to see a doctor, like, I make a point not to see the doctor. I see the nurse practitioner. It's a small sample size because I don't have an awful lot of like medical history or whatever, but like, I just always prefer to see one of those two people as opposed to like the person who runs the show.
Yeah, me too. I think that because they're just kind of like less consequence, you know, so they're allowed to kind of be nicer. They're dealing with lower scale stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think so. Yeah. I don't know why they're just kind of generally nicer. But in this case, it's definitely true. Like, I've had good dentists before.
Yeah.
But this one is not a good dentist. Yeah. And
it's not just nicer. It's like competence and thoroughness. Like, I've never felt both ignored and harmed in a way. You know, it's marked how ignored and harmed I feel when I talk to my doctor and he's just like staring directly at the screen and like handing me little like questionnaires, like when I went in for anxiety or whatever. It's like, can this be just like a conversation as opposed to me filling out a mimeographed quiz, dog?
Yeah. Who's quiz dog? The like, yeah, it's I agree. Like, it is it's very impersonal, and it's, I don't want to be friends with these people. Like, I understand they have like 7-minute appointments because they're overworked, because mm-hmm. this is a nightmare country. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an impersonal thing. It's like as intimate as you have to be with somebody who doesn't care about you, really.
Right.
You know, ordinarily when somebody is, if I'm talking about things that are vulnerable, like there is a presumption and it tends to be true that person cares about me.
Yeah.
And this person doesn't care about me is the takeaway.
Right.
You know, from this, it's like,
you're trusting an awful lot to this professional, right?
Yes. And
there are any number of things that make this person trustworthy, you know, the credentials and the fact that other people probably like recommended them. Like, that's not enough. However, if they fucking neglect you and also like destroy your mouth by rushing the job like that, that is a betrayal of your trust as a patient.
It just, you know, it's very hard for me to imagine. Like, I couldn't be a dentist because I couldn't just do something that was causing someone pain. No. And then just willfully keep doing it.
Right.
You know, even if it was for a greater good, like, it just like, couldn't just sit there and like, yep, this is going to keep happening. Like, you know, and I maybe it's for the end, this will be good. And like, this means that when I am, you know, 55, I have, you know, I don't lose all, you know, I don't lose teeth or what have you. Like, this could be good for me in the long run, but like, it just, especially when there's an alternative, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that like, again, this was just done and done in a kind way
mm-hmm.
a week prior to this. Like, so I still have to go in and get my wisdom teeth taken out. From her, then I think I have a cavity.
Okay.
And then I think I can just kind of ride it out, and she's gonna be like, come back in every 6 weeks to like check your stuff, and I'm gonna be like, no. I can't afford that, and also I don't like you. I got it from here. You know, I'm not saying I'm gonna go like another 8 years or whatever with going to the dentist, because that's how I got in this mess in the first place, but I'm gonna try to find another one.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know, but like, wisdom teeth isn't that big of a deal unless you get dry socket or whatever. Like,
I've had one of them. Down of 75% of my wisdom teeth. So and having that taken out wasn't a big deal. I mean, but who knows how this lady does it?
Yeah,
I mean, she shoots it off. Like, she pulls a gun out. Like,
who knows? You know? Okay. It's going to sting a little bit.
Yeah.
Wait, my mouth? No, your ears. Like, boom. Got
diamonds on the soles of her shoes. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, I think all bets are off.
Who even knows?
All bets are off with Grayson.
Homeless.
All bets are off with Graceland Jones. Oh, Graceland Jones.
Man.
Hey, Gary, I've got a, let's do a rewind, because I've got an etiquette question for you.
Okay.
After you spit up a small baby's worth of blood in that Target, did you just flee the scene, or did you notify somebody that, hey, there's a biohazard that needs cleaned up?
I fled the scene because the most important thing to me was not to open my mouth.
Okay.
I didn't want to look like I had corpse teeth, and I didn't want to dribble more blood because my mouth was very numb at this point.
Right.
And I didn't trust that it wasn't just going to be like, I was going to open my mouth and it's just going to be act two. Like, you know, it's going to be a Goosebumps cover as soon as I talk to a clerk, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that's not good etiquette, but at the same, I had to be selfish a little bit.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just in my head picturing either the employee or the other person who comes upon that scene.
Someone on Twitter, and I apologize for forgetting your name, like said, like, I work at a Target, and out of bodily fluids we can find, this is by far the best one. I was like, that's good.
I suppose. Wouldn't urine be a little bit, I don't know.
I'm
thinking about cleaning urine off of a tile floor, which Target has, or like even just like shampooing it out of a. It seems like urine would take that, because blood stains, and like I'm just afraid of people's blood because of disease.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it probably didn't. You know, if I had to guess, it was seen pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, it was just in the middle of an aisle. Like, it wasn't hidden. It's not a huge target. Yeah. It's not one of those carpeted targets. So, like, you know, I bet you it didn't last very long. I bet you it was, in either case, it's just a mop.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, just kind of took care of it.
Right.
So.
Hmm.
But. Yeah. And also, they might not have thought it was blood. Like, they could have thought it was, you know, like, black cherry soda or something.
Yeah, because it was mixed in with. It was diluted. It wasn't like it was just straight from a vein down on there. It was like, adulterated by saliva.
there was some spit involved. And then also just, you know, you can't like sight read blood instantly.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like something might look like blood, but there's a lot of like juices and stuff that would look like that. Like this could be one of those, like a Kool-Aid cooler or whatever those things are called.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid
gusher. Yeah. Sorry. My Hawaiian punch burst a seam.
Totally. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And that's what's going to happen when I go in there to get those wisdom teeth. You know, like a nice Hawaiian punch. Well, like, sure, it seems high in
sugar for my
kabow. you're the boy in the bubble now, see?
Fuck's sake. Anyway. I'm sorry you've had to go through this.
Yeah,
just the phrase gum scraping. I've been very
2017
fortunate.
Sucked so bad. Like it's like it never got better. The entire year up until the end was like I had a good New Year's Eve and that was it.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry.
it's okay. Yeah. So Doug suggested this.
Yep.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Sorry we couldn't do your first choice. That's why we have two of them.
We couldn't do your first choice, and sorry that we have not seen Lost.
Yep.
Everybody, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks for the support. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year.
Yes. This is not the first episode that comes out after the New Year. This is the first episode we've recorded.
Yes.
After the New Year. So.
Yep.
Just if you're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? That's the.
Yeah, I can wish somebody Happy New Year's twice.
Yeah, that's fine.
I was talking about for 2019. And it's getting ahead of the game. If you like the show, what can they do to support us?
Well, the new year is a good time to take another look at our Patreon campaign. If you have been putting that off for any amount of time, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. It's a good way to support us, which, you know, thank you very much for doing that. And also to get, like, extra content. You know, giving $5 gets you two extra episodes per month of this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can dictate games. You can vote in polls and the like. Our Patreon has a lot to offer for Object Suffering fans.
Yes.
I guess until next time,
who's smoke dog?
Yeah. Who's smoke dog? Dog worth of blood.
It was blood dog.
It was blood dog.
Blood dog.